This is Room in the Trees, a podcast about living a creative life. Room in the Trees is hosted by Trent Reynolds and me, Sabrina Ward Harrison.
Show notes, including pictures, links, video, and more for every episode can be found at roominthetrees.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at Sabrina Ward Harrison and at Trent Reynolds Art. And now, here's this week's episode.
The first year I moved here, I was walking the dogs and I didn't know anybody. And I was walking down to the lake and I thought I saw these swans. I'm like, that's crazy talk, Sabrina. There's not friggin' trumpeter swans in the lake. Are you kidding me? Really? And so I hadn't seen them since. But I thought years later, I would think, was that real? I wonder if those were really swans. Like, do they really, you know, we've seen a flock of swans before and living anywhere. And so they sure enough came back this year and it was just, it was majestic. And the same day we saw two bald eagles just fly through the backyard.
No way. How cool
while looking
is that?
At the swans, and then I'm Marco Poloing my dad showing the swans, and then I'm like, holy cow, there's in the Marco Polo, you see these big bald eagles across the camera. So it was
amazing.
It's kind of amazing. Yeah.
How many swans are in a flock of swans?
That's a good question. I know that they live to be 30 to 35 years old, though. Oh, there's other terms for a group of swans. A ballet of swans.
Oh.
Kidding me? It's amazing. A ballet of swans.
I like it.
A drift of swans.
Mm.
A fanfare of trumpeter swans.
A fanfare. That makes sense.
A swanery of swans.
A swanery of swans.
A tank of swans, a team of swans, a tranquility of swans, a V formation of swans. There we go. But the best one is a swanery of swans. I just saw a swanery of swans. What's up, swanery of swans? The whole concept of migration is really interesting because they like trust the journey. They just go and fly and fly and fly and fly. And I don't know how they do it. They just know.
And it seems like such a good metaphor for so many things in life, right? Like there's something in you that calls you to a place, you know, or, you know, like this instinct that pulls at you, you know, that like, you know, I just am so curious. I wonder what it is in the swan's brain that prompts them to move. Is it like the thought like, it's kind of getting cold around here, let's go somewhere warmer? Is it something as simple as that? Or is it like, oh, I can't wait to get back to that, you know, that pond, or, you know, they've got really great, great fish up, you know, in that part of the world. Or I don't know.
But like, it's amazing they go that far for it.
Yeah. But I mean, like, what is it? Is it, do they not, is there not anything in their brain that prompts that? Or is it just like their body knows, like there's a physical memory of it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think like so much of my life experience is based on intuition, you know, or like a lot of my decisions are made on something that isn't necessarily rational. It's just like, I feel kind of nudged or pulled in a direction. Right. And then when you find something that is right, there's a resonance, right? So I wonder, you know, like, is a swan kind of like that? Do they have a plan? I mean, they don't have like a Google calendar that.
It's incredible though, right?
Yeah,
how they know.
Yeah, it is.
It is really, and that they all knew that, okay, it's 3 days and then they got to get on the road.
Right, right.
Get in the air.
And I'm sure there's some, you know, there's a leader swan that's like, okay, pack it up. Break is over. Come on, swanery. Back up in the air.
it's so fascinating. It really is. It makes me really think about weird is so aimlessly, it feels like sometimes we're just so aimlessly going, okay, I've got to do that, I got to do that. You know, but maybe we really are intrinsically on some sort of path.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at my desk right now, it's not a streamlined operation.
No, there's got to be order in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, it has indeed been a long December. Can I whine just a little bit?
Yeah.
So this year has already been like the disintegration of patterns, right? Of like you, of the things that like the landmarks, the little points of reference of life have just been obliterated.
Do tell more.
So
yeah,
I've been just trying, you know, to come up with ways to mark the passage of time and the season and try to make, you know, to imbue this month with some sense of kind of the festive spirit, which didn't happen a whole lot. I mean, it's like there's no real opportunity to interact with people as much, you know, or it's like, yeah, like people don't go out, like you don't go to the mall and have, as annoying as the mall used to be at Christmas and nobody wanted to do it, it still was like the chaos of it added to the sense that this is a like there's energy in the air, right?
Right.
Whereas when you just buy all your presents online and wait for them to come in the mail, you know, and everybody kind of knows what they're getting, and you know, there's nothing to kind of differentiate that from, you know, every other day. Anyway, I was looking forward to the few family gatherings that had been planned, right? The California contingent of the family is going to get together, have a meal, whatever. So the week before Thanksgiving, all of my kids come down with COVID. Starts with one, but you know, like, where are we going to quarantine? Right. It's like the chances of them not all getting it were zero. So, it didn't take long anyway. So, that kind of rules out Thanksgiving.
Did you get COVID too?
No, Laura and I have both been vaccinated and, you know, luckily neither of us, and we were testing, you know, every couple of days we had these tests. So luckily we never got it. So that shot that we did our best to, we had a, you know, put together a nice meal for ourselves. And in some ways it was kind of, it's kind of nice to have a good excuse to not have to go to events, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of that, but largely it was just like, oh man, that's kind of a bummer. I was looking forward to, like, one of my brother that's living in Minnesota, he and his wife were in town. So whatever, that was a bummer. And then we're gonna get together for, you know, Christmas Eve or whatever. And then two of our girls come down with hand, foot and mouth disease. But basically it's kind of like chicken pox. They get spots all over their hands, feet and mouth.
Oh God.
Yeah. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, so Zoe got it and Eden got this like 3 or 4 years ago. It's not, it's like every,
does it hurt?
Yes. So for the little one, for Zoe it was really bad. And like it was like all just looks horrible. It looks like a disease all over her hands, and her mouth gets all these sores all over it. And she couldn't sleep for a whole night. So I'm like, and she was miserable. And then Mara got it. It's the kind of thing like chicken pox where you get it once and you don't get it again. But
okay.
Mara hadn't gotten it. Eden had gotten it. And younger kids, little kids are more susceptible. Anyway, but Mara got it and she got some, just a rash more than anything. And that was pretty much it for her. But Zoe really got it bad. Anyway, but we got that right before this Christmas get together, and so we couldn't go to that. Anyway, so I'm whining here just to say that, like, now we show up in January, it just feels like, you know, it just feels like a continuation of this last 2 years, which has just felt like, you know, one long December.
Yeah.
And now with Omicron, it's like, man, this thing is never going to end. Like, our schools are now talking about maybe going back into, remote, you know, Zoom school. And it's just part of the difficulty of this last year is just like there was no end in sight.
Yeah.
So then now when we go finally get to go back to school, the prospect of having to go back to lockdown is just so disheartening. You know, it's like it has been really rough on the kids for sure, but also on parents. Like,
yeah,
it's been rough. Anyway, that's a bit perhaps too much of a downer, but it's, you know, life's
not
all bad.
It's a real deal. Yeah.
It is the real deal, and it's been hard. What's the situation where you guys are at? Is it locked down? Is it like, are people feeling fearful or is it kind of hopeful? Are you feeling like you're coming out of it?
Kind of in between there. I think there's a lot of cases, and so it's just been kind of staying just relatively like not social with people and limiting that. But being the introvert I am, I mean, it's wearing on everybody, but I definitely think it works for my personality, you know, but it would be so different if I had kids. I just have so much empathy for people in that position.
Right. Man, that's it's a balance. It's a tricky balance to find. Cause like for me being an introvert, like I'm in a 2-bedroom apartment with 4 other people, right? Or 5 other people.
5 other people.
Yeah. And so, yeah, sometimes you just want to like sit and, you know, have no input coming in from anybody else and just kind of sit with your thoughts and choose what you want to pay attention to, whether it's like a TV show or whatever, you know? So, yeah, it's like you gotta impose some kind of boundaries, like psychological and like literal.
Yeah.
On happier news.
Yes.
Happier news. So I don't know if I told you about this guy that contacted me on Instagram, Surfer.
Yes.
Did I tell you about that?
Just briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had seen some video I posted about epoxy resin. He was kind of curious about it. He sent me a direct message and we went back and forth and then ended up talking on the phone. Anyway, turns out this guy's name's Dennis Jarvis. He's the founder of Spider Surfboards. He was a pro surfer. He's made and he's acted in and directed movies. And like he's had kind of an epic life, you know. He was kind of on, you know, back in the day when, you know, before, I don't know, I guess when surfing was more just, I guess back in the day before the internet, it's like everything was more, you know, niche or local, right?
Right.
Anyway, total surfer dude. Love hanging out with him. So California. So like beach town bro. You know, it's just a lot of fun to talk to him. But he also has, you know, of course, this epic life story. But he's also, it's like, I had no idea that he was kind of a big deal when I first was interacting with him. And it's kind of cool to meet somebody like that, that, you know, like, he could name drop and he could like puff himself up and act like he was a big deal, but he's just totally this down to earth, like really geeks out about art materials, likes talking about, you know, making stuff, you know, and that's where I connect with him. Anyway, I was just down at his shop yesterday delivering some fiberglass stuff that I cut for him, these designs, and he's making this body of artwork that combines his craft as a surfboard maker with some really cool just ideas about sculpture and like visual art. But just, I mean, that's been kind of a highlight this past month is working with him. And then I've had a couple other collaborations with other artists come up, you know, doing some laser work for cutting stencils and stuff. What have you been up to? Are you doing a class right now or what are you working on projects?
I am, we'll be opening up Liberate February 11th.
Nice.
And I was thinking of you because I'm wanting to put together this kind of tribe of people that I'm inspired by and people who have, you know, specialized knowledge in things and have them be featured over the course of the year. I'm not quite sure how I want to break it down, but I was thinking it'd be so neat for you to do something where you shared about materials and techniques, maybe with working with paper and some of your collaging techniques and or something. So it would, and then people could be directed to your courses and or classes or something. But I just thought I have the people that are like an art therapist and someone who helps with story processing, kind of. And I just thought it'd be neat to offer them kind of a longer period of support. The other thought would be that I would have, say, choose four people that I think are great and then see if they could do once a month, hire them to do once a month, like kind of studio time where people could, because I was thinking maybe some people need, sure, you know, open studio time, just like an hour of asking a question, like, you know, I'm having issues with this rippling and this isn't drying flat. And
right.
I'm trying to put ink over top of this and it's resisting, which I do.
Yeah, some in my you know efforts doing online classes, some of the most fruitful time are those just like open sessions, like on like mm-hmm. you know a Zoom call where people have been working and they can come in and ask questions specific to what they're working on, like mm-hmm. that can be really
right.
helpful.
Right.
No, I dig that. I love that idea, and I'd be happy to just experiment with different formats and see what
ends
up sticking.
I think it'd be really neat, and I think it could be really beneficial because of your offer around doing, you know, critique kind of support, mm-hmm. individualized stuff. I could see people being very interested in that.
Yeah, for sure. I would. That's kind of the format that I think ultimately would work best. You know, like mm-hmm. some kind of support group. Doesn't quite capture it, but kind of like, because when it's one-on-one that can be really helpful and fruitful, but it's also really helpful when it's a group yes. setting, because you learn yes. from what other people are yes. doing and you get ideas exactly. and like yeah cool no I'm in count cool. me in
okay so one of the things that's firing me up for this new year is the Peloton. So my dad had gotten one during the pandemic and he was raving about it for the mental, physical attributes of it being so good. And I'm like, I hate bikes. I hate bike seats. I don't do stationary biking. He said, but I was seeing how he was just doing it every day. And so when I was back visiting them about a year ago, I got on there and I couldn't get the friggin' cleats into the, and it was just like, this is impossible. And I almost gave up, and I'm so glad I didn't, because I tried out one of the classes and one of the instructors, her name's Allie Love. And she was so, her energy was so authentic and infectious and wonderful. And because I just didn't want someone cheesy and like, mm-hmm. just, I wanted something that felt like not a typical like aerobic instructor. So they teach these live classes you can join in, or they're recorded. And something about the way you, once you click your feet in, it's like you click in and you go. And you really push yourself, and there's a whole great gamification quality to the thing. Hmm. And so I finally decided to invest in one. And I've done it every day since I got it in November.
Really?
Yeah. I've just passed about 275 miles in. And I love it. I love it.
Seat's not a problem.
We switched it out. Sean was amazing and put on another seat that's wider and more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great solution. And it is so great to sweat that hard and have that kind of really visceral exercise experience.
That's really cool to hear. Huh.
Yeah, I've been really happy with it.
Peloton for the win. And what are you watching while you're going? You're watching the instructor, or is there yeah. other kind of visuals?
There's the option to watch scenic things, but I really like the instructor because they just pace you through it. And there's all different kinds of rides. There's like a Tabata ride, pop rides. I did a Broadway musical one to Hamilton, and I just rocked my world.
That sounds great.
It's great. It's and really great.
The bike itself, is it changing resistance, or yep. is it? It is.
So you're kind of out of the saddle riding, you know, just like really climbing up a hill.
Mm.
And it's just a simple knob. It's not like all digitized or something. It's just you, and they coach you through what your cadence and resistance should be, and so how fast you're going, and then at what resistance it is, and it's just dynamite. It's really been great. Sean's getting his shoes this week, and then you have the option of also that has all these wonderful Pilates and weightlifting classes and bar and meditation. So we got a little thing to make the screen pivot off of Amazon, and you can turn it around and then take all these other classes that are where you have a mat and weights. And
how cool is that? That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm really fired up about it. It's just great for my mental health and my physical health. And yeah, so I'm a big fan of that.
Fantastic.
What about you?
The thing that I'm excited about that I don't think many people would be excited about, but I'm going to share it anyway because it's what came to mind, is there's an application on the iPad called Procreate. And it's an application that I've been using for a long time to do digital painting. And it's really good at that. But what it has added recently is the ability to paint on virtual 3D objects.
Oh, neat.
And up until like just 3 weeks ago, it was kind of clunky in the way it was implemented. And it was kind of hard to get like sculptures that I had done on the iPad into it to paint on.
Yeah.
But I just last night actually figured out a new tool that that has become available, and totally enjoying. I'm digging like being able to paint on virtual 3D objects.
How awesome.
Yeah, I wish
what
I could show you.
What would be an example of one of the
objects? Well, I do these little, and this is just like for my own sanity, you know, like mental health artwork, art making.
Yeah.
But I make these little sculptures of funny heads, you know, like little faces and stuff like that. And it's just kind of something I do. It's like doodling, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm able to take those sculpted heads and pull them into Procreate and paint on them. I don't know. I guess it kind of sounds unremarkable when you say it, like that, but
can you send, because you can record the screen process of it?
Sure. I'll send you a little screen grab of it. But you've been able to do this for a long time on a computer. But what's remarkable about this is just how easy it is to do it on your iPad. So instead of going through this like many step process of sculpting and exporting, importing file types and all this, you know, stuff, like I can just open up my iPad and start, you know, relatively quickly painting on my little sculpture.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like it's so much friction has been removed that it just makes it easier to enjoy it. So I'm jazzed about that.
There we go.
Favorite Christmas foods, real quick.
Food. What's yours?
My mom makes, or maybe nostalgic foods. So favorite or nostalgic foods. My mom makes this tea ring. I think it's a Danish tea ring. If I'm not, I think I'm part Danish. Okay, it's got some Dane in me. Great Dane. So my mom makes this Danish tea ring, which is basically like a cinnamon roll, but it's got raisins and nuts and cherries and this frosting that has amaretto in it. So it's kind of this almondy, and it's in the shape of a ring and with little cuts in it, little sections. And it's very aesthetically pleasing to look at, but it is super, super yummy. So that is something
Does
that
it
I
have
enjoyed.
A name?
Just Danish tea ring.
Just your basic Danish tea ring.
Just your standard, your garden variety Danish tea ring.
That sounds delicious. I'd like some right now, please.
Yes. So sometimes my mom used to make it a lot when we were kids, but in recent years she's kind of gotten out of the habit, and it's kind of time intensive to make it. But this year she made it and she dropped it off to us, and it was a really bright point in my Christmas season.
What I really liked have been roasted sweet potatoes with chipotle sauce on them.
Mmm.
Yep. But what I'm really into is we've been watching the show Yellowstone and just loving it. Have you guys been watching that?
No.
It's fantastic. It's Kevin Costner stars in it. It's about kind of the a homestead that in Montana. And it's really good storytelling, really fantastic characters, scenery. And it has a prequel to it now, which is such a neat concept. So it's the prequel is called 1883. And so it takes place, the same family on their journey across to Homestead in Montana. So it, you know, it's, it makes you think about, well, what's your, what are your ancestors? What were they doing in 1883?
Right.
And how, if we could think about that and reflect on like the journeys and the bravery and the courage and the challenges and the whole thing of coming across and forming and foraging a life. Like we were built for that.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of ties back to that thing about the swans.
Mm-hmm.
And just trusting the journey. Like they had, didn't have Google Maps. They didn't have, didn't have maps even. They just were, you know, being brave, coming across the ocean and finding their way.
Right.
So it is really remarkable. It's not, that was not long ago.
It is kind of amazing how recent those times were, right?
Yeah.
Like in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. That's amazing. I'll have to check that out. That sounds really cool.
And there is the, in 1883, and then they had like in the first episode, Tom Hanks had a cameo in it, like Billy Bob Thornton, some really good performances. Really cool.
That sounds excellent.
That's my thing.
Well, Sabrina, I want to thank you for this past year. You've been a fantastic friend and just a great support in what has been one of the hardest years of my life. It really has been. And so the going to your wedding in Portland was such a highlight and such a special experience. And just being able to periodically check in and have conversations is just, it's been a really important kind of point of reference for me, touching point. So I appreciate you and really excited for all that you've accomplished and looking forward to this upcoming year. I think that I'm excited about the ideas that we talked about today and just all the possibility that I know and the hope that I think hopefully is returning to our world as we come out of the pandemic. So I'm looking forward to this upcoming year and feeling good and hopeful about what's possible. So cheers.
Cheers to you too. You've been a great friend too. And it meant so much having you there at the wedding. And it was a beautiful highlight of the year for sure.
Yeah.
All right. We will be in touch. I'll be in touch with you about this Liberate stuff. And what are we sending out to our audience? Is just sending out.
I think just like empathy and like y'all, it's been hard. Like don't be hard on yourself. Don't think that something's wrong with you. The reality is it's just been a hard situation and a lot of really challenging circumstances that nobody could have anticipated. And give yourself some room to breathe and patience. And, you know, we're all here to help each other. And this will be, things are getting better. This year's going to be awesome. Keep making artwork.
Yes. Turn towards the colors.
Yes. Chase the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, please consider showing your support. You can become a subscribing patron at patreon.com/room. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at Sabrina Ward Harrison and at Trent Reynolds Art.
And check out the show notes at roomintheTrees.com, where you can also get in touch if you have any ideas you'd like to share. Please help us grow our audience by rating us or writing a review on iTunes. To do that, you can use the link roomintheTrees.com/iTunes.